Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brother David Clark. Glad to be with you again one more time on the radio. And I'm looking forward to the word today. And I want to thank Brother Ledford for asking me to be here again today. And so we just appreciate him. So let's get right into the word this morning. I'm going to be reading in the book 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and 18. Going to be going back and forth. So just follow along with me if you can. But I'm going to be sharing with you something that I've shared at the prison the last couple of Saturday nights. And I just want to put it out there for everyone because I know you all can't be with me there. But I think this is for everybody. So I'm going to read some here out of 1 Samuel. I'm going to start 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm sorry, chapter 17. I'm going to read quite a bit here, so just follow along, bear with me, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah and Ephizdemim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his head, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head was weighted 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come to, why are you come out to battle in to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." The Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the day of Saul, in the days of Saul. And they, the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went into the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a minute, and I'm going to kind of recap what I just read. I know that's a lot of scripture to take in at one time, but basically the scene is set here. The armies of Israel on one side of a valley on a mountaintop there, and David, the armies of the Philistines, I'm sorry, are on one the other side of the valley there. You got Israel one, Philistines on the other, a valley in between them, and a champion comes out. This giant comes out of the armies of the Philistines and presents themselves to the army of Israel, God's people. And, you know, God's people face battles just like everybody else, sometimes more than everybody else. And so the champion steps out of the camp of the Philistines, and he starts taunting the armies of Israel and starts defying the armies of Israel. And Goliath starts, you know, calling them names and picking on them and mocking them and asking them to send someone out that is man enough to challenge him and to defeat him. He wants to make an arrangement. You know, if you win, then we'll serve you. And if we win, you know, you can serve us. Well, the armies of Israel, the Bible says that they became afraid. Saul and the armies of Israel, the king, and they became afraid. This man was of such stature, of such height, his such magnitude, it just looked like he was undefeatable. It looked on the outside as if there was just no solution. And so they began to hide and to be afraid. And then the Bible says that there was a man named Jesse from Bethlehem who had 8 sons. 7 of those sons, you'll find in chapter 16, were passed over to be anointed king, and I'll talk about that in a minute. One of them was anointed to be king. His name was David. We're going to talk about David more in just a minute. And so all the armies, these men of war, these men who were trained in the battle, these men who were suited with armor, who were experienced per se, they were veterans. They were, you know, the Marine Corps. They were the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard. They were all of these things. The Air Force. They were the defense of Israel out on the front lines. And so the enemy sends out a champion. They got a secret weapon. You know, they've got a man that folks have not had to. Maybe they had heard about him. Maybe, you know, I'm sure a man of the size of Goliath, he was probably legend around there. He was probably well known. And when they found out that they were sending him out, they began to be afraid. And the armies of Israel who served the Most High God were afraid of the enemy. Now, before I go any further, I'm just going to relate this to us here this morning so you can kind of see which direction we're going to go in. We're going to be talking about the messy business of giant slaying. Now, I shared this, like I said, in the prison last Saturday night, and I kind of continued on it last night. But, you know, we always talk about the same kind of thing with David and Goliath. We get into, you know, how, you know, David was young. David was supposed to be king. 5 smooth stones, slingshot, and that was it. But there's a couple of things that I want to bring out about this that the Lord kind of showed me and talked to me about in my own life that I want to share with you. And maybe you can relate to this today. And so let's talk about the messy business of giant slaying. Now, David was a young man. We read in chapter 16, and the Bible describes him as a youth, and he was ruddy, the Bible says, and he was fair to look upon. He was not a man of war. David was not a man of war at this age. He was a child. He was a young person. He was not suited with armor. He did not have the tools to go out on the battlefield, per se, in man's description, and to be a soldier. He was left on the hill tending sheep, as we're going to read here. And so this is the scene that is set up this morning. The giant has presented himself. The enemy is raging. The armies of God, the people of God, are fearful, and they have no solution for what to do. Now, in yours and my life this morning, I'm sure that you can relate to this. There have been times where I've faced giants in my life, spiritual giants, some physical things, financial maybe, or problems and whatever, all kinds of different things we face as Christians, as humans, we face life. And there's been times where I felt like just the army of the Philistines was bad enough, but then they have the audacity to send out the biggest man they possibly can, this giant named Goliath. He was the biggest, baddest guy in the army. And they sent him out, and it makes matters worse for me. It just seemed like everything, all hope was gone, and I was shaken, and I was scared, not sure what to do. Maybe you've never been there, but I'm not afraid to admit this morning I have faced some giants in my time. There have been some things that I've come up against where I did not feel like I could overcome them on my own. That's the shape that the armies of Israel were in as we continue reading here. Now, I'm going to skip down here in verse number 16. I'm sorry, yeah, verse number 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. Now, in anybody's time frame, 40 days is a long time to put up with something like this. Now, you think the first time I read through this to study for this message, I've read this lots of times in my life, heard the story lots of times, but just in this last recent time frame, studying to preach this in the prison and here on the radio, I was looking at this, and 40 days just seems a little extreme for an army to allow someone to taunt them and to just parade around and defy the armies of Israel. 40 days just seems like a long time for them to just watch in terror as the enemy just parades around and mocks them, and they hide and they tremble and shake, not knowing what to do for 40 days. That's how long it took for something to happen with this. And David caught wind of this, and listen to what happened. Listen here, it says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines," not the giant, by the way. "And that David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, and Jesse had commanded him, and he took the came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion." Or as he talked with them, "Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Now they were worried about the reward that the man was going to receive in physical terms, but David said, what's going to happen to the man that takes away the reproach from Israel? All these men who are cowering, all these men who are acting like a bunch of sissies, ain't never seen the enemy before. David said, what's going to happen? What reward could you give somebody who takes away this reproach from the armies of God, who are supposed to be the chosen people of Israel, and they're running from this enemy? "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered and said after this man, answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his oldest brother, when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now I want to interject this right here just because I thought this was comical. Even back in David's time, somebody speaks up and says, "Somebody, y'all ought to stop acting like a bunch of sissies and wimps out there. Stand up and face the enemy." Somebody's always going to get offended when you tell them to face the enemy. Quit whining about it. Square your shoulders back. Be men of God and face the enemy. Somebody's always going to get offended and say, "David, what are you even doing out here? You don't even belong on the battlefield. I know you just came out here to see what was going on. Why don't you get back there and tend to sheep? That's all you're good for." Somebody, "Well, David was speaking the truth. Who is this giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's challenged the armies of God? And why is the army of God allowing him to even step on their back porch?" A lot of us have allowed the enemy for 40 days and 40 nights, sometimes more than that, a lot longer. Some of y'all have been facing things for years and years and years. You've been allowing the enemy to pace back and forth, keeping you locked up in the house. He comes and presents himself on the front porch, and you just look at him through the window, too scared to do anything. But I want to tell you this morning that enough is enough. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and tell the enemy that he's been on our doorstep for too long. We've allowed Goliath to pace around in the front yard too long. We've allowed the enemy to have his way with us for too long. Goliath spent 40 days pacing around and taunting the armies of Israel, and you and I do the same thing, allowing the devil to taunt on us and to mock us and to keep us afraid and boxed in. And it's time for the church to rise up and say enough is enough. You can't stay on my front porch. You can't stay in my yard. You can't stay here. You can't stay in this valley. It's time for you to go back where you came from. And the armies of God, the people of Israel, the church of Jesus Christ are going to be the ones that send you back where you came from. Now somebody say amen. Now, listen here to what they said. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Anybody ever told you that you're crazy for wanting to go up against the enemy toe to toe? You ever told somebody a dream that God's put in your heart, or something that you feel like you need to wage war on the enemy, and somebody said, you better just leave that one alone. You better just leave that alone and let bygones be bygones. Let that go. That's just the way it's going to be. Just accept things as they are. You're too young. You're too innocent. You don't know enough. You're inexperienced, David. You don't even have armor. You don't even have a sword. Just let it happen. Well, I'm tired of rolling over and just allowing the devil to walk over me. I'm tired of allowing the enemy to have his way in my life. I'm tired of the church being overtaken by Goliath. I'm tired of people like Saul telling the church that they're too young, that they're too inexperienced. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He equips those that'll stand up for him and say, I will go. Here am I, God. Everybody else may hide under the church pews the first time that the enemy rears his ugly head up, but there's a David still left in Israel who will stand up and be counted. There's still a man of God in the church. There's still a select group of people that'll stand up under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and they'll square off with the devil shoulder to shoulder, squared back, toe to toe, and go after him in the battle and see the victory won for the glory of God. It's the church's business to do battle with the enemy. It's not going to be a clean fight. The devil does not fight clean. The enemy of God does not follow the rules. He's always trying to cheat and to lie and to do what he can to take advantage of us, but it's our duty. It's the calling of God to wage war on the kingdom of hell. It's our duty today to wage war on the devil and to take him for everything he's got, to rob hell and to populate heaven. That's the calling and the duty of the church today. Now, let's continue here. I want to get to my points here before I run out of time. Listen, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now David's testifying here to Saul. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Now I'm going to skip down here. to verse number 45. The giant approaches David for second time. I've got to condense this here. The giant approaches David and starts taunting him. Verse number 45, David responds and says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. It's not me that you're coming against, Satan. It's not me that you're defying. It's not me that you're calling names. It's not me that you're trying to hinder. You're insulting the very God of heaven. When you come against the church of Jesus Christ, when you come against one of his, you're coming against everybody. You're coming against the kingdom of heaven. And it's a dangerous thing, Satan. I believe it's time for the church to remind him, when you come against me, you ain't coming against some shepherd boy on a hill out there. You're insulting the very God of heaven. All the angels and the encampment of the host of heaven stand behind me. The Holy Ghost that is in me, the angels that camped out around about me, they're all for me today. And I believe if we would remind the devil of that today, it would do us good. We'd find some courage. We'd find some strength in knowing that we don't stand on this mountainside alone, but the very God of heaven that has called us, the very God of heaven that has sent us, the very God of heaven that will equip us, he will win the battle for us if we go in his name and don't fear what can be done to us, but allow the enemy to know. Tell him this morning, you're insulting God. When you come against me, I got somebody greater on the inside. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's continue on here. Listen to what it says. Now David just approached the giant, told him what for, and told him, you come to me with all this stuff. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Verse number 46, he says, this day will the Lord deliver me or deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now David looked at Goliath here, and he said, Goliath, I didn't even come to this battlefield with a sword, but by the name of Jesus, I'm coming to you today, and your head's going to be mine nevertheless. I don't care what I got to do. I don't care how hard it might be. You may try to trick me. You may try to fight dirty. You may try to trip me up, but I came out here in the name of the Lord, and the battle is going to be mine today. It's going to be won for the glory of God. I'm going to take that head off your shoulders today. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Every time we talk about David, everybody focuses on the five stones. But let me just summarize what happened this morning for you. Let me just summarize this story here. David did take five smooth stones, and David did take it out there, and he did sling it at the giant. And he did knock the giant down. And the Bible said the stone sunk into his head, knocked him down. But what happened next? What happened next? Listen here. Verse number 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistine saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. Now this morning, on this wonderful that everybody's been praying, and you went down to the brook, and you got your five smooth stones, and that's wonderful. It's wonderful that you went out there with your staff and your sling, and you knocked the giant off of his feet. It's wonderful. But has anybody in here ever seen a boxing match? I don't watch it. I don't support it. Nothing like that. But I've seen a boxing match in my time before, just enough to know what a TKO is. A TKO is a total knockout. That means when one opponent knocks the other one out, he's unconscious, he's down for the count, and the round goes to the other guy. The match is won. But what happens is, eventually that opponent revives, and he goes on and he fights another match with somebody else. He's not dead, he's just knocked out. Now listen here, I wasn't there to check the pulse of Goliath after that stone hit him, so I don't know if he died on impact or if he died when his head was cut off. But this one thing I do know. The Bible says that David had no sword, so he went and stood upon the giant, took the giant's sword and cut his head off, and he held that head up so the armies of the Philistines would know that their leader was taken, that he was vanquished, that he was dead. And so he took the head back to Saul, and he held it up to let Saul know that the giant was slain. Now listen to me real close here. I got 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. I got to get this out to you in a hurry. Some of us have been TKOing the enemy for so long, and he gets back up and he lives to fight another day. We sling those stones at him. We sling a word of prayer at him. We sling a fast, a meal or two at him. And we say, you know, I've got victory over him, but we can't keep the victory. Every time we fight him, he comes right back. Every time we sling another stone at him, he comes right back. I came to tell somebody this morning that giant slaying is messy business. Giant slaying is messy business today. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to have to get your hands on a sword this morning, and you're going to have to take that giant's head off and hold it up so everybody can know that the enemy has been vanquished, that the enemy is defeated, that the victory is won, that the battle is the Lord's, and you're going to have to testify so the enemy knows it. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Is I know it's a lot cleaner. I know it's a lot neater to reach into the brook and get a couple stones. But the problem is, you knock him down one time, and a couple days later, he's right back after you. Some of us have been dealing with things for so many years, sicknesses and addictions and things in the church and problems and all these things. We knock the enemy down, and he comes right back, and we wonder why we can't get victory. But nobody wants to get their hands dirty and take the sword and chop his head off and remove it from his body and testify that the giant has been vanquished. It's going to take the sword of the Spirit. It's going to take us standing up and being men and women of God, taking our place in the church of Jesus Christ. We got too many spiritual snowflakes, folks. We just got too many pew warmers. We got too many people that don't have the fire of Pentecost burning in their life today. There's no power to conquer giants, but it's a messy business. We got to get down to business with God today and take that giant's head off. It's too long now. He's been pacing around for 40 days. He's been pacing around for too long. He's been wreaking havoc for too long today. And it's time for somebody to win the victory for the church. It's time. Your family deserves it. Your wife, your husband deserves it. Your children deserve a man and a woman of God that will defeat the giant in the name of Jesus Christ today. And you'll be better for it. I'm telling you, you'll be better for it. I'm out of time this morning. I'm going to continue this another time. I may have to just roll this over into Sunday school this morning. I pray God would bless you, that the word has helped you today. Somebody get to church this morning. Get in those altars. Pray and worship and have a good time in the Lord. God bless you. Revival starts at Bethel Holiness Church this week. Curtis Teague, 7 p.m. nightly. Come and be with us. God bless you. We're praying for you. Have a good Sunday in the Lord.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.
Always informative, keeping you connected, updated on the stories that matter. FM 100.3 and AM 600 WBOB.